Welcome to Diverse, a Society of Women Engineers podcast. SWE gives women engineers a unique place and voice within the engineering community. On Diverse, we highlight incredible women in STEM and discover who they are at home, at work, and everywhere in between. You can find all of our episodes online at podcast.swe.org or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. Hello, I'm your host, Sam East, and welcome to Diverse, a SWE podcast. Artificial intelligence, or AI, has taken the world by storm and has been all over the news in the past few years. Today, we're speaking with Rinal Karvir, a senior AI software engineering manager at Intel, to discuss the role that bias plays in AI and the different kinds of biases that exist. Rinal is part of one of the featured stories on AI in the spring 2024 issue of SWE Magazine. She's also recognized in SWE's annual list of women engineers you should know, which is revealed in this issue and is a huge and exciting honor. Congratulations on that achievement, and we're so excited to have you on the podcast today.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here today. It's a great honor to be featured in the SWE Magazine and to be listed among the women engineers you should know. I sincerely appreciate this fantastic recognition from SWE. And I think that talking about bias in AI couldn't be more timely and essential. With generative AI solutions like ChatGPT really making waves around the world, and as we are integrating AI more deeply into our lives, the challenge of mitigating bias is becoming increasingly critical. I'm really excited to share my insights with all of you today.
Yes, there is so much ground to cover today. Before we really jump into that, Rinal, you know, it's a hot topic. Can you set the stage for us in this episode? What are we talking about when we say AI? Because it's all over. It's a hot button word. You probably hear it about once daily. But what are we really talking about here?
Absolutely, Sam. You know, when we talk about artificial intelligence or AI, it isn't just a futuristic concept. As you said, it's very much a part of our everyday lives. Right from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, AI is touching so many aspects of our day. For example, our smartphones. AI-powered personal assistants like Siri or Google Assistant are helping us schedule meetings, find information quickly, and even control smart home devices. And it doesn't stop there. In healthcare, AI is helping doctors diagnose diseases faster, predict outcomes for patients, and even personalize treatment plans, which is pretty much amazing. In education, if you look at, AI is tailoring learning experiences for individual students and giving them feedback in real time to make learning so much more fun and effective. And have you ever noticed how Netflix seems to know exactly what movie you are in mood for?
Yeah. I have.
Or how Spotify always finds that right song for you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's AI at work too, learning from our choices to recommend what we might like. And then even on Amazon and shopping, AI is there, you know, enhancing our experiences by offering personalized recommendation based on our past behavior. So you see, AI's potential is just massive. It's transforming industries and impacting us in big ways. And for us, especially as women engineers, it's critical to grasp how pervasive AI is. Mm-hmm. By understanding its application and effects, we can steer its development in ethical directions and ensure it serves as a force for a positive change. So you see, we have this incredible opportunity and responsibility to shape the future of AI, ensuring it's used in ways that benefits everyone.
And how did you, Rinal, first get interested in the different types of biases that come into play when developing and using AI? As you outlined, it's really at our fingertips all the time.
Yes. So Sam, my path was really shaped by both my personal experiences and my career in software engineering. So working on AI initiatives, I quickly realized how impactful these technologies are and also how they can unintentionally perpetuate biases if they are not carefully managed. So, a key moment for me was a personal health experience related to a medical test prediction. The test results weren't accurate because the data didn't have enough samples for my ethnicity and age group, leading to a lot of stress of going through more invasive testing to get some conclusive results. So it was a real eye-opener about the impact biases in AI can have, not just on personal level, but also across our communities. So driven by the passion to make a change, I embraced the role of ethical AI champion at Intel. I was motivated not just to develop AI solutions, but ensure that they are built responsibly. As my journey continued, my involvement grew as I joined influential groups like the IEEE Ethical AI Standards Committee and the NIST AI Safety Consortium. This gave me a platform to influence AI practices on a broad scale and to ensure that AI serves the greater good. Through talks and panel discussions at conference and mentorship, I took my commitment a step further, and I'm focusing on raising awareness about these critical issues, advocating for a responsible approach to AI development across the industry. So that has been my journey, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is probably a lot of misinformation floating around. I did hear someone recently say, instead of fighting AI, we have to accept that it's here and learn different ways to work with it. And that's where people like you step in to educate. I mean, there's many different kinds of biases in AI. Let's really dive into this. I want to learn more about the details and what you are seeing. So can you walk us through some of the major types of bias in AI and some examples of each?
Yes, absolutely. Let's first look at how AI systems work at a high level. So at its heart is a model that is trained on relevant data for a particular use case, enabling it to predict outcomes or identify patterns accurately. So once it's achieved a certain level of accuracy and performance, it is then deployed into applications where end users like us in our everyday interaction can see its benefit. And bias can get introduced at any of these stages, right from data generation to model building and deployment. So let's explore some of the prevalent biases. Let's first talk about historical bias. You know, when we look at the view of the world a few years back, we do notice that it was biased and it marginalized certain groups unfairly. So this bias arises when the data reflects past condition and no longer holds true or perpetuates inequality. So for example, we are training with outdated data. So for example, we are using AI for making, you know, employment decisions. And then if it's trained on data that is maybe 10 years old, right? Where female candidates were not that favored, you know, male candidates were favored, especially in tech roles, then we start seeing this gender disparity peeking in the AI system. So this is just one example of how historical bias can come into play. Now, another type of bias that can get introduced is representation bias. So it occurs when data that we use to train AI models does not accurately represent the target demographics or when certain groups in the data are underrepresented. So an example in voice recognition technology, right? I sometimes do have that problem with accent, right? Because Siri kind of performs better for certain accents than others. And it's largely due to the overrepresentation of some demographics in the training data. So, yeah, we start seeing those in our day-to-day lives as well. Now, let's also talk about measurement bias. So, this happens when the data collection methods are flawed. So, for instance, right, I would like to give an example. Consider Compass, which is a solution that predicts the likelihood that a defendant will reoffend. And it is used sometimes by judges or parole officers to make decisions around pre-trial release. Now, because certain minority communities are highly policed, these groups have a different measurement. and it leads to biased outcomes for these groups. So like in the data phase, we see that many types of biases can get introduced. Now, let's also talk about biases that come into play in the model building and implementation phase. So let's talk about aggregation bias. And that arises when we try to take a one-size-fit-all approach to our AI solutions. So results from the models are not optimal for any group, or they favor the most dominant group. So for example, certain emojis or hashtag may convey a very particular meaning in a local context that is very different from how those emojis are used in a global context or how other groups might use it. So if we take, for example, a very non-specific model that is trained on all of data available on Twitter or X, right, it would completely miss this context, leading to misclassifications of the tweets for this, minority population. Yeah. And then also let's talk about learning bias. Now, this is an approach we need to take while AI development, right? It's about making these trade-offs and decisions. So learning bias can occur when we are prioritizing for one particular objective and that damages another. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for certain regions or countries, right, we are not allowed to collect certain data to comply with privacy laws. And what it can result is that we have less number of samples for that particular target use, and then that might affect the accuracy of our outcome. So it will not work well for a certain demographic. Or, you know, when we are trying to optimize our models to make it more compact so that they work well with power-constrained devices like our smartphones, and then that compactness. So we are optimizing it for compactness, but it also might affect the accuracy. So we have to make sure that when we make these trade-offs, the accuracy is still acceptable. And if it is not, then we need to explore other options. So yeah, there are a few more biases. And then they are like, there's another one, which is evaluation bias, which we often see when the benchmark data that is used to evaluate or test a model, it does not reflect the true diversity of the user population. So this can cause the AI to perform well in a testing environment or well on a test, but it really performs poorly in real-world application. Mm-hmm. So to give you an example, there are commercial facial analysis algorithms that perform tasks like smile detection. And these tasks, they don't perform well on sometimes on the images of dark-skinned women, because images of dark-skinned women comprise of less than 8% of the common benchmark data sets that are used to evaluate this model in a testing environment. Mm. And now finally, let's talk about deployment bias. It arises due to off-the-label use of model. So the purpose of model is intended for one particular task, and then it is not used for only for that purpose, but it's also used for something else that it's not intended for. And sometimes these are closely related tasks, so they can cause confusion with the users as well. So for example, a model intended to predict a person's likelihood of committing a future crime is also used to determine the length of the sentence for this particular person. So they are related, as you see, but they are different. They're differently built to do this particular task. So we cannot actually off the label take one, the model for one task and apply it to another. So as you can see, Sam, biases can get introduced unintentionally, and mitigating it can be very complex. So addressing these biases can involve a combination of diverse and inclusive data collection, and then careful model design and evaluation. We also need to focus on applying a robust fairness matrix because it's all about trade-offs and an ongoing monitoring of AI systems so that they adapt to changing real-world conditions and perform fairly across the target groups.
Yes, and I think that adaptation is something a lot of people are curious about because, you know, from a very base level understanding, it seems like the difference between artificial intelligence and human intelligence is that AI is still novel in picking up nuance, in picking up gray areas, things that are subjective, like emotions, perhaps. And like you so thoroughly detailed there, you know, this isn't just your Spotify playlist or what pops up on Netflix. There's real life implications, such as in the police system, for example. So from your point of view, do you feel that the developments in AI are now being fine-tuned to sort of pick up on those subjective, those nuances, the gray areas that humans are more attuned to?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of effort in that direction, right? And as there's a lot of research ongoing, and as we are kind of learning more, we are adopting more. And when we started this development, right, if you look at the evolution of AI systems, first the goal was just on, you know, proving value with the technology, and then those kind of the doors opened, and then people started using like novel application with that. And then as we kind of went through it, then you can see that a parallel development did start with, okay, what are the principles that we are going to use to really kind of, you know, monitor this AI development. And now, like, you know, AI needs to be, these decisions need to be integrated in every phase of AI development. So we are seeing that change where right from, like, you know, defining the user group, people are being very, very objective in terms of, like, it's not a build all for everyone's solution, but they are very specifically kind of outlining what is the target group, what is the use case that we are going to work on. And then there is a lot of testing happening around it. So we are definitely seeing, you know, a lot of kind of momentum where it's much more streamlined and much more thinking about how it's going to benefit and how it's going to address those gray areas as well. And still have a long way to go, but I think we have started taking those steps.
Yeah, that's so interesting. In your opinion, with all the insights that you have, why is it so important to reduce biases across AI?
Yeah, certainly, Sam. So it's critically important to reduce biases in AI for several interconnected reasons. So let's you know, talk about fairness and equity first. So AI systems often make decisions, as we kind of, you know, saw, that significantly impact, have a significant impact on our lives, such as determining eligibility for loans, jobs, and even predicted criminal behavior, right? So if these systems are biased, they can unfairly disadvantage certain minorities over others based on race, gender, and even social economic status. So ensuring AI systems are unbiased is essential, first off, to treat all of us fairly. And another reason is trust and adoption. So for AI technologies to be widely adopted and integrated in everyday life, we must trust that these systems are reliable and fair. And bias can certainly undermine this trust and leading to resistance to technology adoption. So by reducing bias, we foster greater confidence in AI applications and wider adoption. It's also important to talk about legal and compliance risk. As awareness of AI's potential for bias is growing, governments and international bodies are increasingly enacting regulations to ensure that AI systems operate transparently and fairly. And you'll see that companies must address bias to comply with regulations and to avoid potential legal penalties, which can include hefty fines, sanction, and even restriction on the use of AI. And additionally, for businesses, by addressing biases, AI system can be more accurately tuned to serve diverse customer base, leading to a wider market reach. So by actively reducing biases, companies are not only mitigating legal and reputational risk, but they're also enhancing customer loyalty. So this ethical approach can differentiate a business in competitive markets, attracting customers and partners who really value fairness and responsibility. So reducing bias in AI is not just a technical challenge, but it's a fundamental aspect of ethical AI development. It ensures that all the advancement in AI contributes positively to society and reinforcing the ethical, legal, and also the commercial viability of AI solutions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obvious that you are very passionate and informed on this subject. In the sort of greater public and society, there's a lot of mistrust when it comes to AI. What's your sort of confidence in it as it continues to evolve?
So I think as it continues to evolve, based on like several regulations that are coming up, there is the UAI Act, there was like President Biden's executive order on AI. With all of these initiatives, I feel confident that in coming few years, it's going to get better and better, and it's going to serve the diverse community, and it's going to help us with ethical AI development. I think, you know, seeing a lot of momentum, which was not there maybe 2 years back. Now, if you look across, right, there's lots and lots being done to make sure that, you know, it is kind of like we are addressing the biases, as well as we are making sure that, you know, bias is one aspect, but also privacy, safety, security, those are other aspects too. And there is lots being done on those fronts as well.
Mm-hmm. And let's speak to that. What is being done across the industry to reduce bias in AI? Is there a coordinated effort? Are companies sort of relying on their own ethics code of conduct? How does that work?
Yes, that's an excellent question, Sam. So across the industry, there are both coordinated efforts and individual initiatives as well, aiming at reducing bias. So firstly, there is a growing recognition that tackling bias isn't just a solo venture. Many companies are joining forces to initiatives like the Partnership on AI, which includes academia, industry leaders, and NGOs as well. They are working together to study and formulate best practices on AI technologies. Companies are also broadly sharing the principles of responsible AI they have adopted to inform their customers and partners about how they are ethically developing solutions. So, for example, at Intel, we are deeply committed to shaping the future of AI with responsibility at its core. Our responsible AI principles guide us to ensure that our technologies respect human rights, offer transparency, and are under continual human oversight. We are also focused on maintaining highest security and privacy standards, fostering inclusion, and minimizing environmental impact. So this framework helps us build AI solutions that are not only innovative, but also ethical and beneficial for everyone involved. And most companies have established internal AI ethics committees that review AI projects to ensure they adhere to ethical standards. So these committees often include interdisciplinary experts to ensure a well-rounded approach to AI development. It's about having that internal checkpoint before any AI reaches the public. We are also across the board seeing significant investment in research and development as well. A lot of work is being done not only to improve algorithms, but also to understand the broad social impact of bias in AI. Then we also have the tooling front, right? On tooling front, there is exciting progress with open source resources. Companies are not only using these tools, but are also contributing to them. So for instance, Google's What If tool and IBM's AI Fairness 360 are designed to help developers detect and correct biases. And then there is a growing realization that education and training are absolutely vital. So there is a significant push to educate both the current and the next generation of AI developers and users about ethical AI. Many companies are now offering courses specifically on AI ethics, covering everything from bias mitigation to responsible AI development. And then lastly, what I want to say is companies are actively participating in dialogues with policymakers as well to shape the regulations that enforce fairness and transparency. They are contributing to development of guidelines and standards at both national and international levels. So we see that while individual companies are indeed making strides on their own, the broader movement is much more a collaborative effort. So it's this dynamic ongoing process, Sam, with the tech communities striving to ensure AI systems are beneficial for all.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other kind of hot topics around AI is jobs, right? Job security. Yeah. Is AI going to eliminate a need for certain job positions that are filled by humans? Do you have any insight on that front?
So it's like any other technology, right? Mm-hmm. I would say that it's not replacing, but it's essentially the job definition is changing. So we have to reskill and upskill a little bit, right, to make sure that it's going to make our lives easier. So AI right now is kind of like in the automation field. It's making a lot of strides. So a lot of repetitive work, which, you know, humans don't want to do anyways or find it not that appealing.
It's
right?
True. It's so, very true.
Yeah. So, it's right now, you know, helping us there. It's also helping in some of the creative aspects as well. But it's like it still needs that human oversight, still needs us to be very creative to give it inputs to work on, right? Mm-hmm. So that aspect is changing a little bit.
Well, Mrinal, this has been a very, very insightful conversation. As we've said a couple times, it's a hot topic for people all over the world. If women engineers in particular are hearing this and feeling passionate about the topic and want to become involved in helping to reduce the bias within AI, what guidance would you share with them? What is the next best step?
Yeah, absolutely. So for all women engineers out there feeling motivated to join in, I would say your enthusiasm is just what is needed. There are so many ways you can channel that passion. You can start by educating yourself and others. So there are tons of resources out there, online courses from platforms like Coursera, Deep Learning, AI, webinars, and even podcasts that delve into AI ethics. This foundational knowledge will not only empower you, but also enable you to educate others. The more you know, the more effective you can be in advocating for a change. So getting involved in the community will also help a lot. So engage in community discussion, workshops, and conferences that focus on AI and ethics. These events are great opportunities to learn from experts, but also to share your own insights and connect with like-minded professionals just like you who are passionate about responsible AI. You can also consider joining professional groups. So organizations like IEEE, ACM, and others have special interest groups dedicated to AI and ethics. These organizations often lead the charge in shaping AI standards and policy, and it can give you a platform to collaborate on projects and contribute to policy discussions. You can also consider rolling up your sleeves with open source projects. There's a whole world of collaborative platforms out there dedicated to improving AI. Whether it's refining algorithms or ensuring data fairness, your contributions can have a direct impact. And then you consider being an advocate for change inside your own workplace. Push for adoption of ethical AI tools, champion diversity, and initiate discussions on transparency in AI deployments. Change often starts from within. Mm-hmm. And if you're inclined academically, also consider engaging in research. Highlighting new insights or proposing novel methods can influence both academia and industry. And finally, I would say, please consider mentoring young women entering the field of AI. Sharing your journey, challenges, and successes can inspire them. And by mentoring, you're not only contributing to reducing bias in AI, but also helping shape a more diverse tech community. So really, the avenues are plenty, and each step you take is going to be valuable. So dive in, take that first step, and you can definitely make a difference.
Mrinal, this has been such an eye-opening conversation. I think you probably cleared a lot of the concerns that some people had regarding artificial intelligence, and you shined a light on what the evolution looks like. So thank you so much for sharing these insights with us today.
Thank you so much, Sam, for having me today and for our wonderful conversation.
I'm Sam East, and from all of us at SWE, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Diverse. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your social network. You can visit podcast.swe.org to keep up with our episodes and learn more about how the Society of Women Engineers empowers women to achieve their full potential as engineers and leaders.